My name is Gary Zom.
I have spent 33 years with the U.S. government, primarily in the National Wildlife Refuge System. My job from 1980 through 1999 was the refuge manager slash project leader of the San Luis National Wildlife Refuge Complex, headquartered here in Los Banos. The Kesterson area, the part of the Central Valley Project where the Bureau of Reclamation not only would provide contractual irrigation water to irrigation districts lying to the south of Los Banos, under the project, they were also looking at providing drainage for these agricultural lands. And there was fully intentions to have the drain expanded to Contra Costa County, and that the reservoir was going to be expanded from 1,200 existing acres to over 4,000 acres. It was a viable wetland. Cattail plants were out there. You would see some duck species. There was a fairly large rookery of snowy egrets and black-crowned night herons nesting in the dense cattail stands. It was a pretty nice environment. The Bureau began conducting surveys for endangered species in the area that the drain would expand it and sent northward. I began, you know, investigating all the lands that I had oversight authority on. I had also, you know, grown up working in marshes throughout the West, and the smell at Kesterson Reservoir was something foreign to me. I never really smelled it before. Some things appeared to be, you know, wrong. Here's a permanent wetland in the Central Valley. It should have had turtles, it should have had frogs, snakes, more birds than what I saw. Plus the fact that we had been seeing birds, mainly coots, with a lot of white feathers in their wings and also in their body plumage. I remember my first trip up there, I saw these coots with multicolored black and white birds, and that's not the way they're supposed to look. Partial albinism in birds is sometimes a direct symptom of high levels of selenium. And I started checking the embryos of these unborn chicks and found that they had some mass deformities. There were birds with no eyes, deformed bills, twisted bills, legs that were totally deformed. I mean, these birds would have never been able to live. They reminded me of the thalidomide babies. And as it turned out, studies that were conducted by the Fish and Wildlife Service with the Bureau of Reclamation support and funding found that the farther south you went, in other words, when that water came in the most concentrated form, it had high levels of selenium. And no one knew the human health aspects of selenium. You know, were the workers at risk? In fact, in the early stages, they were wearing protective suits, goggles, rubber gloves, just picking up the dead birds because the food chain was contaminated. Birds were dying. When the data started coming in, it showed there was a real serious problem there. The Fish and Wildlife Service decided they needed to put a hazing program in to keep these birds off the reservoir. And it was a monumental task that began in, you know, I think 84. There was a staff that I supervised that used noisemakers to try to haze the birds off of Kesterson Reservoir. There were pyrotechnics, propane exploders going off, and people driving around with ATVs shooting these handheld devices to try to keep the birds off. And you were hired to protect the birds, not to try to keep them off. So it's sort of demoralizing to have your people doing this. Politics in this were just unbelievable, but it wasn't just that, it was an environmental problem that could have been headed to the Delta and to the Bay estuaries, where it would have, you know, just been impossible to control at that time. That started the process of change. The subsurface drains were plugged off. There were dirt plugs put in the San Luis drain to where no drain water would be going north into Kesterson Reservoir. Fresh water was put in to the drain, again, to keep the facility intact. And of course, to a lot of people in this area, that was the end of the world.